Welcome to the second night of our novena. And again, our theme for this year is developing an interior life. So that's today we'll be looking at St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary as a way to develop the interior life. And so let us begin with, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so in this... Okay. Sorry. I thought there was some microphone feedback there for a second. Okay. So, in this second night, then, is how true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary can help us grow steadily and resolutely in the interior life. So, first of all, what is the goal of developing a spiritual life or an interior life? And we could look at what's the objective in several different ways. In other words, what is holiness? And we could say that holiness is an ever-increasing conformity to God's will. Or we could also say that it's an ongoing growth in perfection and charity. And we could also say, as St. Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, an ever more complete development into the full maturity of Jesus Christ, our head. And in one sense, that's all the same thing. Okay? But different aspects of what it means to develop an interior life. Now, if we look at that, then, the true devotion to Mary that St. De Montfort is proposing actually fulfills all these three aspects. And by the way, that's not exhaustive. I'm sure there's other definitions for holiness as well, but I thought those were three very good ones. But if we look at this, if we give ourselves totally into Mary's hands, we are sharing in her fiat, her complete conformity to God's will. Let it be done to me as you will. If we give ourselves totally to Mary, she gives us a participation in her own faith and charity, her perfect, immaculate love for God and love for neighbor. And the more we give ourselves over to her, the more she can, if you would, live her virtues again on earth through us. And then finally, of course, we talk about St. Ambrose and St. Augustine talking about Mary as the mold of God. Is the more we give ourselves over to Mary, the more the Holy Spirit can form Jesus in us. So we can see right there that true devotion to Mary and giving ourselves over to Mary in total consecration is definitely a very good way of growing in our interior lives. Okay, so hopefully I piqued your interest. And you're saying, okay, let's hear more. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. There are basically five principles to true devotion. And if you're not familiar with the book, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. Sister Mary Louise, bow your head, right? Okay, all right. okay, so... If we look at these five basic principles, the first one, of course, is that true devotion to Mary and total consecration to Mary is not about Mary. It's about Jesus, right? And any authentic Christian devotion is going to be about getting closer to Jesus. And if you remember, I started with Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Well, de Montfort talks about what is his basic focus is wisdom incarnate, which is Jesus. But how does he come into the world? What's he sitting on is his mother, right? So the infant wisdom that, of course, grows into that wisdom that conforms itself to God, even to death on a cross. Okay, so obviously Christ is the ultimate end of any authentic Christian devotion. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is God incarnate. And he is, of course, the fullness of revelation. He is God's human face that reveals God's incredible love for us. And, of course, who's closest to Mary? Excuse me, who's closest to Jesus? Dang. Mary, okay? And if we look at it, looking at some of the Byzantine fathers of the church talking about Mary being that border between the infinite and the finite, between the uncreated and the created. She's the golden gate through which God enters the world, the gate of heaven. And so who can get us closer to Jesus than she who is the closest to Jesus? And so obviously our devotion to Mary then is giving us perfect devotion to Jesus. Okay, so there you go. The second principle is that we belong to Jesus and Mary as slaves. And automatically it's, what? Okay, it's a very negative connotation for Americans especially. But if we look at this, like again, Philippians 2, 6 through 11, he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. Okay, so that idea, if God himself, the infinite good God, emptied himself of his glory and took on our human nature and became a slave, a servant to us, that it must not be too bad. If we look at it in that context of the scriptural understanding of what de Montfort is talking about. So there are basically three kinds of slavery. There is, or if you like, being owned. No one lives as his own master, no one dies as his own master. If we live, we belong to the Lord. Why? Because, number one, he created us. Our lives are not our own. We did not bring ourselves into the world or cause our existence. And we really don't have a right to take it out of this world either, right? It's not our life. It's God's gift of life to us. Okay, and there's a lot of ramifications in that, but that's another talk. But the first type of slavery, if you would, is that we belong to God. And on top of that, of course, as by our disobedience we became slaves to Satan, that Jesus then came into this world to ransom us. And so he's, if you would, bought and paid for us again. Ransomed us from sin, slavery to Satan, and to death. And so the first kind of slavery then would be by nature. By nature, we belong to God, and also he's purchased us. Now, the second type of slavery would be the ugly stuff, in one sense, that we as Americans associate with slavery, and that is I hate to call God coercive, but he does make everybody obey him in the end. Now, he doesn't force our will, but like the devil, the devils and the damned, they still have to bend the knee at the name of Jesus. Yes, they have to obey, even if it's not going to benefit them at all. They still have to obey. So, if you would, if we go to Philippians, I think it's verse 10, so Philippians 2:10, so at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and everyone proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, so there is that involuntary slavery that we see in the sense of people that are made slaves, either by their own sins or by the sins of others. So there's that kind of slavery. And then the third kind is, the kind that de Montfort is actually talking about, and that is the slavery of love, that I willingly give myself in total dependence and obedience to God and belong to him. Okay, and that's the type of slave we want to be, right? The one, if you want to put it in more modern terms, I guess it would be that we are totally dedicated to God, totally dependent upon God, totally trust in God, and that we're giving everything to God out of love. And that's what we're really talking about. Okay, so that's the second principle of this total devotion, the total self-gift out of love, obedience out of love to God. Okay, so the third principle would be that we want to rid ourselves of our evil, right? We want to be good. We don't want to be bad, yes? Do good, avoid evil, you know what I mean? The basic moral precept that is written in our hearts. So the problem is, of course, that all our actions are contaminated by selfishness and pride. Admit it, it's true. And if not, you're being proud. Okay, now, pardon me, but so even though we've received baptism, even though we go to confession regularly, even though we receive the Eucharist, we're always falling. Yes, we're not just the fallen human beings, we're falling human beings. Okay, so we need God's help constantly. And of course, who's the best one to help us get up and realize we need God absolutely and utterly, and also the one who's going to help us get up and help us bear fruit in that, in grace, and that is, of course, Mary. That she's going to, the Immaculate One is going to, even though we were born in sin, she's going to help us die without sin. Isn't that, I'd sign up right there. I haven't even gotten to the fourth and fifth one. Okay. So the fourth principle is, of course, it's more humble to approach Jesus through the mediation of his mother, because that's how he came to us. Yes? So we're going to say, well, I don't need your mother. I'm just going to come to you straight. It's kind of like, well, I came to you through her. What's the problem? Okay, so we need to realize that it's more humble to come the way he chose to come into the world. Okay, so we need to take the same path. And then finally, we are, as St. Paul says, vessels of clay, right? Earthen vessels that hold great treasure. And so unfortunately, we are very fragile, and we can easily lose grace. Yes, God gives us, pours out graces on us, and then we blow it the next minute, if you know what I mean. Like, we go to confession, I have all these resolutions, I come out, and within 10 minutes, I've broken my resolution. So, if I give it to Mary, then she is the great treasury of God. And if you really think about it, well, she's the best safety deposit box that we have. I'm sorry if I'm saying that too disrespectfully. But what do I mean is, think about all the treasures that God has entrusted to Mary. And if this is his institute, his bank, then obviously it's going to be a safe, very, very safe, not just federally insured. It's going to be divinely insured. Okay, so let's entrust ourselves to Mary, and she's going to keep it safe. And it's not like it's like, thanks, see you later. No, she's not that way, okay? If we give her everything, she is going to take personal responsibility to take care of us. She's not going to be outdone in generosity any more than God is. Okay, so those are the five principles of the devotion. Now, if you look at it then, what would be, well, first of all, what is true devotion marked by? And then we'll look at what would be the motivations for giving ourselves totally to Mary. Yes, I'll watch. Okay, five minutes. Yeah, okay. Quickly. Well, not too quickly. Okay, first of all, it does need to be interior. Okay, what do I mean is it's not how many rosaries you say, and I'm sorry, Mother, but it's not how many memorari novenas you say either. But that those are good. It's not saying that, oh, don't do that. But interior means that everything that we do is flowing from the fact that our hearts and minds esteem and love Mary. Anything we do. I mean, if we say all sorts of prayers and novenas, but we don't have any love, we're just parrots talking. We need to have our heart and soul in it. So the first true devotion to Mary is going to be interior. I'm doing it because I really love her. And I really love God, and she's helping me to love him more. Okay, second, it's going to be trustful. I know a lot of people have objections to totally consecrating absolutely everything to Mary. What about praying for other people? Am I going to get stuck in purgatory? And you're kind of going to, like, trust Mary. Have utter confidence in her. Do you really think that if you give her everything and totally impoverish yourself, that she is going to not give you even better stuff, right? Yes? Like, here's my little 10 cents. And she's like, thank you very much. I'll take that. You know, the widows might. And then she's, you know, she's going to plop down the 10 million. Okay, so obviously we can trust her. As a child trusting its mother, totally, completely confident that she's going to come to our help when we need her. She's not going to leave us in purgatory. Good heavens, no. Okay. Also, our devotion to Mary should be constant, not just when we need her, like, oh, help, this person's sick, or God, help me get through the master's comps or whatever. Never mind. Okay. There's some people out there that, okay, so, but this idea of constantly being devoted to her, and because we're constant in our love for her, she is also constantly helping us to persevere, and she's the one who's strengthening us, and she's the one who's saying, don't give up, go just a couple more steps, you can do it. Okay, so she's that beautiful coach that's helping us to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay. Also, of course, it's disinterested. We should be devoted to Mary, not that we're not going to get great benefits out of it, but precisely because we want to give glory to God and we love her. Okay, so it's not what I get out of it, it's because I love. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. It's not a magic thing, you know, 33 days preparation, boom, you're consecrated, you're going to heaven, yeah. Okay, but it is a relationship that we're forming with Mary and giving ourselves totally to her. Okay, so really quick, what would be the eight motives? First of all, that idea of being able to give ourselves totally to God through Mary's hands. And de Montfort uses a beautiful image of, you know, really poor harvest. Yeah, like this year, it's really bad. We only just now got the rain. So can you imagine a farmer that all he really has to give the king, or, yes, remember, he's France, and it's a king and not a president. But so all he's got is one apple that's good enough to give to the king, although it's got a wormhole in it, and he's, you know, okay. Now, if he gave that directly to the king would go, yuck. You know, or he might go, thank you very much. Okay, so, but if he gives it to the queen, she takes it, She cuts out the wormhole. She puts it on a nice silver platter. She puts a couple of other fruits on it with it and offers it to the king. And that's what we need to see, is that Mary takes the little that we can give and enhances it with her own virtues. And of course, God is very pleased with it, to offer everything in Mary's hands. Okay, so, and by the way, everything. Everything. Okay, by the way, that's St. Maximilian Kolbe who adds it. De Montfort says, offer all of your graces, all your goods, all your talents, all your whatever. Kolbe says, yes, and also my sins and faults and failings and weaknesses, because even those Mary can bring good out of. So everything. Don't be afraid to give her everything. You know, the apple with the wormhole, right? Everything. Okay, so second, this devotion helps us to imitate Jesus, right? Jesus emptied himself so that we're able to empty ourselves. If we give ourselves totally to her, we're going to be detached from, if you would, greediness and pride. You know, I'm so good. What I just did. Yeah. Okay. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back, right? Okay. So give it to Mary. Because again, what's the problem with everything that we do is selfishness and pride. So it's the antidote to these, right? Give her everything so that we can be empty and really give ourselves totally to God and honor God. Also, of course, Mary is going to, if we've been that devoted to her, she's going to be that devoted to us, right? She's going to get us special graces, and she's going to be giving us special help and sharing her spiritual wealth with us. Okay, so we actually get the better part of the deal, right? Okay, so again, this is going to be helping us. Also, of course, this devotion is the best way to give glory to God, right? So if we want to glorify God and be the, I forget, what does St. Elizabeth of the Trinity have to say? The praise of God's glory? I'm sorry, whoever Sister Mary Elizabeth is, I'm sorry, I probably misquoted it. But that idea of this is the easiest, best way to give glory to God, is to give everything to Mary, and she, as I say, will enhance what we give. Okay? The fifth motive would be that it's the smooth, sure way to heaven. Now, when I say smooth and sure, I am not saying that we give everything to Mary and we never have to suffer. No. What do you think the choicest graces are? Yeah. Cross. The cross. Okay? But what happens is she gives us the perspective and the ability to bear a cross as well. So it's not that we won't suffer, but that we can suffer with patience, with confidence in God's mercy. Okay, so that's why she's the sure, easy way to God. Mary also gives us liberty of spirit. If we've given everything to her, we don't need to worry about, like, oh man, how many years am I going to be in purgatory? It's kind of like, Mary, I gave you everything. Do with me what you will. I don't care if I'm in purgatory. You know, I don't care if I'm on the cleanup crew for purgatory. I'm yours, and you can have all. And if we do that, we don't worry about what's going to happen. And by the way, I have a lot of relatives on my heart that are away from the church. Breaks my heart. And I have students that I see falling away. And it breaks my heart. But at the same time, Mary knows what they need. She knows the heart of God. And so instead of just wearing myself praying for them, won't say that I don't, but I have peace in praying for them precisely because I've committed them to her. And I know she knows what they need. And so I have a greater liberty of spirit and a greater peace in prayer. Okay. The devotion correlating with that, is the devotion also is going to benefit our neighbor better, because we don't know what the other person needs. We might think we know what the other person needs, but Mary does know what the other person needs. And so if we commit that person to Mary, that is the most effective way that we can help our neighbor, our loved ones. Okay, and then finally, the more the Holy Spirit finds Mary in a soul, the more effectively he can transform us into Christ. Or if you want to put it another way, she makes us docile to the Holy Spirit so that she removes the obstacles to the Holy Spirit being able to transform us and truly make us holy. Okay, so I hope you can see that devotion to Mary, definitely the total consecration to Mary, true devotion to Mary, is the tree of life that bears the fruit of the tree of life, and that is Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention.